Hello everyone, welcome to this video, which is going to be a guide to cigar sizes, shapes and vitolas. I'm partly making this video because one like it doesn't really exist online. There are lots of videos on YouTube about kind of a gentle introduction to vitolas and so on, but they tend to be about 5 minutes long and don't really go into the sufficient depth that I'm hoping for. And so basically I decided to make one myself. Often that is how videos get made. Something you want to exist doesn't exist, and so you end up making it yourself. Also, about a month ago I made an introductory guide to cigars, and since then there has been some demand for me to follow up, which I will do with this video and a few others. If you're primarily a cigar smoker and you have no idea what this channel is, I don't usually talk about cigars on here. I talk about things like politics and economics. It just so happens that I am into cigars, and time has come for me to make a couple of videos about it. So with all of that said, I'm going to be covering, and this may take about half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. Time it will take you to smoke a decent Petit Corona, maybe, or Robusto. And I'm going to be covering the two main shapes, ring gauges and lengths. I'm going to give you 12 basic vitolas to learn, and the famous people who smoked them for a bit of fun. Now, if you didn't check out my earlier video, An Introductory Guide to Cigars, that's about an hour and 20 minutes long, and I will include it in the show notes so you can go back and watch it if you haven't seen it. So, you know, if you get into cigars even a little bit, you'll eventually come across a chart that looks like this. And at first, this amount of information can be a little bit overwhelming. All of the different terms, many of which are in Spanish, of course, all the different sizes and shapes, it can be, you know, there's a lot to get your head around here. And what I'm going to try to do in this video is to chunk all of this down a little bit and to try to simplify it, to make it a bit easier to really start to learn what some of these vitolas are and what they're about. Now, the first thing that you need to know is that when people talk about different shapes, there are only really two shapes that you need to know. The Pareo, which is basically a straight cigar. I think Pareo means something like equal or equality or something like that in Spanish. And it's got, as you can see, a straight foot, and it's got a little cap on the head that you take off with a cutter. And I explained how to do that in the previous video. The other shape that you need to know is called a figurado, which I believe means figurative in Spanish. And basically, those are all of the other shapes. When the rollers decide to get a bit fancy, they tend to be the much more difficult to do than the standard straight cigars, more difficult to roll, that is. And, you know, if there's a tapered head, or if there's a fat middle, and a, you know, if it's thinner on either side, like you see in the old cartoons and things, those, figurado is the generic name for any cigar that is a different shape from the standard straight cigar. I would say that the vast majority of most cigars you'll ever smoke will be Pareos, but occasionally you may have a figurado as well, and I'll introduce you to a couple of those in this video, although mainly I'm going to be concentrating on the Pareo vitolas. So vitolas, and a vitola, by the way, is are names given by cigar smokers and also by you know, the people who make the cigars, to different standard sizes of guitars. A cigar size is measured by the ring gauge and the length. And you typically give the ring gauge first, followed by the length. The ring gauge is given in 1/64 of an inch, and the length is simply given in inches. So, for example, I've used a Corona, which is 42 by 5 and 5 eighths of an inch. The 42, if you want to find the circumference of that in inches, you basically have to times 42 by 1 over 64. And that will give you the circumference in inches, which is 0.65 of an inch. I've given you a little formula here to make it easy. So you basically take the ring gauge number, in this case 42, and you times it by 0.0156, and that will give you the circumference of the cigar in inches. Or if you prefer, some people on the continent like to do this. In Europe, they like to work in millimeters. Here in Britain, we're kind of equally comfortable in imperial or metric. In America, it is almost entirely imperial. But if you wanted to figure it out in millimeters or centimeters, you take that number, so in this case 0.65, and you times it by 25.4, and that will give you the number in millimeters. In this case, it's 16.5. And then the length is simply whatever the length is in inches. I've worked out 5 over 8 is 0.6, so it's 5.6 inches. Or, using the other formula, you can say it's 142 millimeters. And that is your standard Corona. Now, in terms of what is it that the ring gauge, the width of the cigar, and the length of the cigar actually do? Well, the length is easy, okay? If you have a very long cigar, it's going to take longer to smoke. That's basically what the length is giving you. So, you know, if a cigar is only 4 inches long, it's going to be a quick smoke, like half an hour, say. If it is a massive, like 7-inch cigar, it's going to take more than 2 hours. A cigar of that size takes me almost 2.5 hours to smoke. I'm a reasonably slow-ish smoker. I think there are people who really kind of puff through cigars a lot quicker than I do. But I would say those times I've given you are about what the average person would take. So the length dictates the time. And that's the main thing the length is giving you. Pretty easy to remember. The ring gauge, on the other hand, is a little bit more tricky, because you may think, well, the fatter the ring gauge, the stronger the taste, right? I mean, it stands to reason. If you've got more cigar there, it's going to be a more robust flavor. But that is not actually the case. What the ring gauge of the cigar does is that when you light the cigar, it creates a little kind of hot coal at the end, which is actually the thing that smokes down. And a fatter ring gauge basically gives you a cooler smoke, because there is more tobacco and there is more kind of stuff around that hot coal that's burning. So it keeps the cigar cooler. And it will also smoke slower as well. So the bigger ring gauge will cool the cigar down, and it will actually slow down the smoke. So let's say you had a 7-inch cigar that is only 38 in the ring gauge, which is a Lancero. I'll tell you about them later. That is going to smoke quicker than something like a Churchill, which is a 47 ring gauge, and similar length, 7.5 inches. You know, one of them's going to take you maybe an hour and a half. The Churchill's probably going to take you more like 2.5 hours. So, because there's simply more tobacco there. However, somewhat counterintuitively, this does not translate into, therefore the fatter ring gauge is a stronger flavor. In fact, the smaller ring gauges, the narrower ring gauges, they smoke hotter, which stands to reason. They smoke quicker, obviously, but they also give you a stronger flavor intensity than the bigger ring gauge. Now, why is that? The reason is because you're getting more wrapper around the cigar, for one, and you're having a kind of longer contact with the wrapper, because if you think about the proportions of what is burning, there is more wrapper to the other elements of the cigar, which is the binder and the filler. And so the bigger the ring gauge, the more filler and binder there are in there. There's more filler tobacco in there. Whereas the wrapper, which is said to account for maybe half the taste of the cigar, you know, some people say less, some people say more. But basically, if you're smoking that long, thin cigar, you're getting more wrapper burning and you're getting more of a taste of the wrapper all the way through. So you do get a slightly stronger flavor intensity. And I have actually done my own experiments with this by smoking the same blend in different Vitolas. And I have certainly found, for example, that the Corona is a stronger flavor than the Robusto in most cases, even though they're identical blends. So that is something to bear in mind as we go forward. All right, now speaking of a Corona, I'm going to give you maybe six of the most common Vitolas, and then we'll go into some of the lesser seen ones and fancier ones in a moment. But the industry standard size has always said to be this, the Corona. I think Corona means crown in Spanish, but like I said, I don't speak Spanish, so don't quote me on that. It is a ring gauge of 42 by 5.6 inches. And I would say that they were basically the most popular cigar at some point, enough to have become the industry standard. And when a lot of people think of a cigar, they may be thinking of a Corona. But since about the late 90s, early 2000s, they've been overtaken in popularity by larger ring gauges, such as the Robusto and the Toro, especially in America. In the USA, you know, Americans, they like things bigger. They like things, they have to be bigger all the time. And so the ring gauge has been slowly going up. Also, the lengths of cigars have been coming down. So the cigars in general over time have been getting kind of fatter, but also shorter. And that is largely driven, I would say, by the American market. In Europe, the Corona is more popular than it is in America still, even to this day. But I would say, by and large, the Robusto has become the de facto cigar here in Britain and probably in Europe as well, and around the kind of cigar smoking world. Certainly that seems to be the case. I mean, one of the channels I watch regularly is called Friends of Habanos, or Friends of Havana, I think they're called. There's two guys called Rob and Ken. One of them kind of runs like one of the world's better known Cuban cigar dealerships. The other one is a wine critic called Ken. And Ken, for example, you know, he's always wanting kind of a fatter, bigger cigar. And he tends to frown on this kind of smaller ring gauges. And he's Australian, for example. So I wouldn't say this is purely Americans who are driving these cigar sizes up. But certainly I would say that the fashion for it started over there. Anyway, the Corona was very fashionable in the 1970s, and as a result, it was the favourite Vitola of Sir Roger Moore, who was James Bond. And one of the interesting things is you can basically track which cigars were in fashion by looking at what James Bond was smoking at the time. Roger Moore, he liked... he liked a Monte Cristo number three. Well, I like a Monte Cristo number three, by the way. I had a fantastic one the other day. And yeah, kind of lesser talked about these days, but a bit of a hidden gem. I'll just mention in the passing. Here's a picture of Roger Moore smoking a Corona. So let's move on to another common cigar size now, which is the Petit Corona, basically a little Corona or shorter Corona. Same ring gauge, but about half an inch shorter, so 5.1 inches. And this was extremely fashionable in the 1970s. Just so happens that Habanos, the main Cuban or the only Cuban cigar maker who own all the different brands, they own Monte Cristo, for example, have just released some retro tins. Over the past few years, they've made these retro tins available of Petit Coronas, where you can get five Petit Coronas in a tin. And I picked up some of those myself. They've been pretty enjoyable. Probably the most famous Petit Corona around, I would say, is probably the Monte Cristo number four. And in general, if you learn what each of the different Monte Cristo numbers is, it's a pretty good way of learning the Vitolas, actually. But yes, they were a favorite cigar. Monte Cristo 4 was the favorite cigar of Che Guevara. JFK, John F. Kennedy, also liked this Vitola. He liked the Petit Upmans, which was the cigar of this size. They're not made anymore. And so, yeah, lots of people liked smoking these in the 70s. Here's a picture of Che Guevara with a cigar. There's JFK smoking one. You can see they are Petit Coronas. I kind of like a Petit Corona, you know. I've been finding that, sometimes you don't have a lot of time. Still takes me about 45 minutes to smoke one of these. Maybe a Corona would take more like an hour, but it's not a short smoke, and that smaller ring gauge does deliver more flavor, like I was saying. So I've been getting back into Petit Coronas more recently in the past couple of weeks since I made that last video. I've done some explorations, let's just say, and maybe if people are interested, I will share my new top 10 cigars at a later date. I may do another couple of these videos. I might do one on storage. I might do one on some of the best known brands and a bit of their history. But I may also give another indication of my top 10, because I provided a top five last time. But that has changed, because I've been, since that last video, I've smoked over 20 cigars, and I've been rating them on a spreadsheet. Because in some cases, like in the case of Monte Cristo number four and the number three, it'd been about 5 years since I'd smoked those, so I wanted to now come back to them and reevaluate them. Yeah, to my surprise, I much preferred the three to the four, but it's made me think about Coronas again. So, now moving on to another common Vitola, and that is the Corona Gorda, which literally means a fat Corona. Same length as the standard Corona, 5.6 inches, but now we've got some extra width on there, 46 ring gauge. And this is a favorite Vitola of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is known to, I mean, he likes all sorts of different cigars, but he's known to like the Punch, which is a Corona Gorda. Here is indeed a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, yep, that's the Corona Gordon. And you can see the trend towards bigger ring gauges even starting with the Corona Gorda. So now we get to the Robusto, which I would say has become like pretty much the standard smoke for most people since the late 90s. Certainly in the time that I've been smoking cigars, it's everybody's go-to Vitola, especially in America, but also here in this country as well. And it's basically a much bigger ring gauge, a 50 ring gauge, less length than the Corona. In America, they're usually 5x5, like nice and simple. It's 50x5, sorry. Whereas in the Cuban brands, it's 50x4.8, but still, you know, much more muchness. Now, I would say that popular culture had something to do with this being the size that took off. James Gandolfini in the as Tony Soprano smoked Robustos in the Sopranos. I think Gandolfini in general popular. It was part of that cigar boom of the 90s. Al Pacino as Tony Montana in Scarface was smoking Cohiba Robustos. Jack Nicholson smoked Robustos. And this is one of the iconic Robustos right here, the Partagas Syriac D number 4, D4 Damager, as I call it. And here are some of these people smoking Robustos. There's Tony Soprano, there's Tony Montana, and there's Jack Nicholson, all of them smoking Robustos. So, yeah, that has become the standard, although... for whatever reason, maybe as a legacy, the industry still classes the Corona as the industry standard. But, you know, I would say among smokers, the Robusto tends to be the vitola that people look at. And then, of course, we've got the smaller version of the Robusto, exactly the same concept as the other one. It's 50x4 in the Cuban range. In America, in the non-Cuban, in the New World cigars, it tends to be 50x4.5. Sorry, I've lopped off the zero in the American ones, but you know, yeah, 50x4.5. Same wide gauge as the Robusto, but shorter. This is a beautiful cigar right here, the My Father Libiju 1922. Lovely dress box there. And obviously it's a shorter smoke, but you still get the benefits of that wider ring gauge. You know, it's smokes cooler, you know, a little bit slower than the narrower ring gauge. The sacrifice is a little bit of that flavor intensity, but, you know, sometimes you don't want the intense flavor as well. I mean, something I should have said before, some people, you know, they like a little bit less intensity on the palate. Another common one is essentially just a kind of Robusto with an extra inch on it, which is the Toro. I believe that means bull, the bull in Spanish. Pierce Brosnan was commonly seen with a cigar of this vitola or similar. He's another James Bond, of course. And the example I've given here is the Davidoff Nicaragua Toro Cello. And there is Pierce Brosnan. I think I'm trying to remember what his favorite cigars were. Now he liked the Arturo Fuentes line, and I'm trying to remember the Cuban brand he liked. I think it was El Rey del Mundo, maybe. I could be wrong there, but yes, Brosnan. Kind of, it's not that into, some of the celebrities just kind of smoke occasionally, and I get the impression that Brosnan is a bit more of a casual, but certainly in all the pictures I saw him with, he had a Toro. Now, for whatever reason, in Cuba, they don't make the Toro as a vitola, and this is one of the things that you'll learn, that Cuba is a little bit strange. In so much as they've got like slightly different names for a lot of these vitolas, known as the factory name. This is the Habanos factory name. And this is essentially what the people use internally, you know, the rollers and the internal documentation, I guess, has these as the ring gauges and the lengths. For whatever reason, they don't make a Toro. But they've got a lot of cigars which are kind of close to a Toro. There's the Hermoso number 4, like the Upman Connoisseur number 1, for example, is one of those. There's the Gordito, like the Hoyo Epic Special is a good Ito, 50 by 5.5. There's the Canonezo, which is a Cohiba Siglo 6, is one of those, for example. That's 52 by 5.9. And there's the Magnum 50, of course, the H Upman Magnum 50. And they are all kind of bigger Toro-type cigars, you know, around a Toro. So something also worth bearing. You know, you could be looking for a Cuban Toro. Can't find one. Well, those are some famous ones right there. And on the subject of the Habanos factory names, it's worth bearing in mind that every cigar has what is known as a Vitola de Galera, which is the factory name, the internal name that they use. But since different companies use different names, many cigar enthusiasts basically ignore the factory name and use the popular or market name, that is the Vitola de Salida, for common cigar sizes. So, for example, if you're picking up Cubans, you'll see like, oh, they're calling this cigar a Campanas. What's that then? Well, they just mean a Bellicoso. Or their name for a Lonsdale is a Cervantes. Or their internal name for a Churchill is the Julieta number 2. Or the Laguito number 1 instead of the Lancero. They call a double Corona a Lusitania. They call the Petit Corona a Mariva. So these are things to, these are things that you can kind of safely ignore the vast array of strange and unusual factory names. And you can just focus on getting to know these 12 or so basic Vitolas that I'm introducing in this video. So what are some of these kind of more unusual ones then? Well, the first thing to know is that you'll see the phrase Panatella thrown around. This is basically just a generic name for long and thin. And there are tons and tons and tons of those weird factory names for basically different Panatellas of, you know, various long and thin cigars of different lengths and so on. And basically, most people just say, well, it's a Panatella. It's a Panatella. But there's, you know, there may be like, I don't know, like 20 different Panatella Vitolas. And it's not like this one's 38 by 5. This one's like 38 by 6. This one, et cetera, et cetera. Of the Panatellas, there's only really one to absolutely be aware of. And that is the Lancero. It is a 38 by 7.6. And it is seen as aristocratic, an elegant cigar for a more civilized age. It was the favorite Vitola of Fidel Castro. I think it was originally made especially for him and for him to give to diplomats and things like that. There's a famous Cohiba Lancero, of course. The example I've given here is the Monte Cristo Special Number 1. Lovely cigar. And so that's the Lancero. Now, they were a couple of years, but probably like maybe like a decade ago, a little bit before when I got into cigars myself, there was a bit of a comeback for Lanceros. People were getting into them again. I feel like that's kind of died off a little bit now, and there aren't that many Lanceros out there anymore. I mean, there's the Cohiba, there's this Monte Cristo, and there's maybe Davidoff do one. But there's very few companies actually making Lanceros now. So get them while they're still around, I would. And they do, you know, for me, they deliver a real flavor. And you do kind of feel cool there with that kind of long, thin cigar. Can't lie. And given that cigars are all about relaxation, hey, if it makes you feel, you know, better about yourself, then that's a bonus, I suppose. Here is Fidel Castro smoking a Lancero. And similar, but a little bit different, is the Lonsdale. Now, the Lonsdale is much bigger ring gauge, 42 as opposed to 38. And It is a 6.5 inches in length. And if you think about it, that's essentially a corona that's been elongated. It's because it's the same ring gauge as a corona. It's just been made longer. It was named after Hugh Cecil Lowther, who's the 5th Earl of Lonsdale, hence the name Lonsdale. And much like the Lancero, it is seen as aristocratic and elegant and refined. And it was known to be a favourite vitola of Sir Christopher Lee. And in fact, I mentioned Sir Roger Moore earlier on. I believe in that film, The Man with a Golden Gun, which Christopher Lee appears in, I think Roger Moore smokes a Monte Cristo 1, which, if that is true, probably was Christopher Lee's suggestion, because they were trying to make Bond seem more classy. And the Monte Cristo number 1 is a very classy cigar. Again, not that many Lonsdales made. I mean, the Monte Cristo 1 is number 1 is definitely one that never goes out of production. But a lot of the standard Lonsdales have been discontinued, I believe. I mean, there's a few. I'd be very surprised if Davidoff didn't make one. Davidoff tend to be a company that respects history and things like that. But yeah, more and more of a curiosity these days is the Lonsdale. Here is Sir Christopher Lee smoking what looks like a Lonsdale. Next, we have the Churchill, of course, named after probably the most famous cigar smoker of all, Sir Winston Churchill. And in fact, his favourite brand was Romeo and Julietta, and one of the most famous Churchills is the Romeo and Julietta Churchill, which was named in his honour, I think, while he was still alive, actually. So he would have probably smoked one of these later on in his life. This is a big cigar, and it takes a long time to smoke. For this reason, I don't tend to have that many Churchills. I've got a few here that I want to sample. But I'm not a typical Churchill smoker, because it just takes too long for me. Also, my favourite brand is H. Upmann, and one of their most famous cigars is called the H. Upmann Sir Winston. But for whatever reason, they have been out of stock for, at this point, at least a year, maybe even longer. If anybody knows how to get hold of any Upmann Sir Winstons, drop me a line, because they just don't come in anymore, it seems. In fact, I think Upmann in general has been not restocked for, it must be coming close to a year now. And as a result of that, I've never actually tried a Sir Winston. I don't tend to like the Romeo and Julietta brand in general. Something about their flavour profile and their kind of, to me, they're very mid, the Romeo and Julietta's. Like, they're very medium smoke, and they're kind of a bit bland and nondescript for me. So I've never really gone for the R&J's. So for that reason, I have not had that many of their Churchills. I have had a number of Churchills, ones by Davidoff and a few other brands. To me, I tend to start getting a bit bored towards the final third, and my mouth, it's like I get used to the flavour of what's happening, and it's no longer interesting by the end. So for that reason, I tend not to be a Churchill man. Now, there are some people who swear by Churchills. So, you know, this is another thing about the different vitolas, is that with cigars, you need to try to, like, find ones that match your personality a little bit. And for whatever reason, the Churchill does not match my own personality. There is Churchill smoking what looks like a massive Churchill. So there's also the double Corona, which is just as long as a Churchill and in an even bigger ring gauge. It's 49 by 7.6. Sometimes these are known by their Cuban factory name, the Lusitania. That is the name of a famous Partagas cigar, Partagas Lusitania. This is a very big cigar, something of a status symbol. And I don't mean any disrespect by this, especially among the African American community in America. I'm into hip hop and things like that. A lot of rappers love these big double coronas. And I think their popularity with that crowd is possibly down to Michael Jordan, who's a big fan of the Partagas Lusitanias and also the cigars here. You can see the Hoyo de Monterrey double coronas. When you see Michael Jordan, he's often got a big fat cigar in his mouth, and it's usually either a Hoyo or it's a Partagas. He does smoke other stuff as well, but he smokes a lot of them. Another person who smokes them is Jay-Z, and I'll show you pictures of them smoking these cigars in a moment. And I think, you know, given that, I see a lot of black celebrities smoking the big double coronas, you know, and it's definitely helped popularize these bigger ones. Obviously, in America, you can't actually get the Cubans, which I guess adds to the status idea, because I'm guessing Michael Jordan, Jay-Z have got their own ways of sourcing them, right? There's Michael Jordan. There's Jay-Z. And they're, you know, both of them with a big Hoyo double corona. Next, we have the Pyramid. This is a 52 by 6.1. It's a Figurado with a tapered foot. It's a favorite Vitola of Robert Downey Jr. Apparently, he's said, especially like the Monte Cristo number 2. And the Monte Cristo number 2, for whatever reason, has become one of the most famous cigars in the world. As an actual individual cigar, the Monte 2 has become iconic. I have to admit, I have never got on with Figurados or Pyramids. I always, for some reason, I always mess up the cut. They smoke too tight for me. I either don't take enough off, or and then I try to take more off. I don't know. I just can't get on with them for whatever reason. So I've had a number of Monte 2s and number of other Pyramids in my time. But for me, I always find them a bit of a pain. I'm very comfortable with the usual, you know, straight Parejo cigars. But when it comes to the Pyramid, they always smoke too tight initially. And then I end up taking more off to loosen the draw a bit more. And then, I don't know, I don't like faffing about with stuff like that. I like to light the cigar once, cut it once, and no faff. For me, Pyramids equals faff. So I also don't like, apparently the taper, so that you see how the at the end there at the foot it's tapered down. Some people say that the flavor kind of funnels, it's kind of, they get more intense hit of flavor because the shape is kind of pushing it in a certain way. Honestly, I don't really get any of that at all. I have not, the Pyramids I've smoked have not been any more intense than any other cigar I've ever smoked. So, yes, not necessarily one of my favorites, which is not to say you can't get a great, I mean, obviously the Monte 2 is a great cigar. I had a Arturo Fuente, I think a masterpiece is a Perfecto, but similar, it's got a kind of, you know, that taper. And I had two of those. They were fantastic, the masterpiece Hemingway. But both of them had wrapper issues because I was messing around too much with having to cut them. And one of them was unraveling so badly, I had to resort to fixing the wrapper with rum and honey and all. Like, I was trying to save the cigar because it was such an expensive cigar. I didn't want to throw it out. I always, you know, with the Figurados, they are always a pain in the ass for me. That's just my own personal experience. Other people smoke them as standard, so it could just be down to my, you know, general lack of experience with them. There's Robert Downey Jr. smoking a cigar. I couldn't actually tell what cigar that was. but he is said to like the Monty Twos. Finally, we're going to look at the Bellicoso. Probably the most famous one of those is the Bolivar Bellicoso Fino. By far the most popular Figurado Vitola, I would say. There are lots of Bellicosos made. It's kind of a standard size for many. Definitely the Figurado I see the most on the shelves and on the online stores and things. And the difference between the Bellicoso and the Pyramid is that if you have a look, the foot tapers sharply at the end there. And I have to say, again, I find they smoke too tight for me. And then I end up with the whole rigmarole of, you know, do I take a bit more off? Do I take a bit more off? And I just haven't, I haven't got down where exactly to cut these at all. They say you're only meant to take the very, very tip off. But if I do that, I mean, I'm sucking the thing like a straw. And I still not, you know, it way too tight. So, yeah, I just find them a bit of a pain. I had a, I had an H. Upman connoisseur, an Upman number 2, which I believe is a Bellicoso, or it could be a Pyramid actually. Same problem, it was smoking too tight. So, you know, it's definitely something that you need to get used to, and I just haven't. And for me, when you're spending the sort of money that cigars cost these days, you just want to have a nice time. You don't want to mess around with trying to cut the thing 100 different ways, you know. So anyway, hopefully that has given you a bit of insight into all of the different Vitolas. Let me know in the show notes if you have any questions, if you have any requests for other cigar videos. Like I said, I'm probably going to do a top 10 at some point. If you're new to this channel, I sell courses at the Academic Agency. My bestseller is The Trivium, which is grammar and writing, logic and rhetoric. Kids for over 1,000 years were taught The Trivium, only really stopped in the 1950s and 1960s. In some places they still teach it, but in most places they don't. So if you'd like to level up on any of those core skills, take a course. But most importantly of all, get out.